You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 28th of September. The NBA Finals are set. What does it tell us about the bubble and the season? We'll look at that, plus the Jazz add two members to their staff. Our team look today is the Boston Celtics, and our free agent look is Bogdan Bogdanovic. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Today's show brought to you by Built Bar. Make sure you go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. How are you? Hope you had a great weekend. Happy Monday to you. And the NBA Finals are set. It's the Miami Heat 5 years after losing LeBron James. They get him back and battle him again. And we'll battle in the NBA Finals with the Heat and the Lakers. We'll get to that in just a second, but let's talk about some of the moves the Jazz made in their front office. The Jazz added former Pelicans general manager Dell Demps to their coaching staff. Demps was the assistant general manager of the Austin Toros. Tucson Toros is a AAA team. Austin Toros, before they were the Austin Spurs, when Quinn Snyder was the head coach there. So that was the connection between Demps and Snyder there. Demps, there's a funny kind of line about guys in the NBA. Like, if you're a good player and you end up playing on a different team every single year of your career, then they always kind of say, well, there's something wrong with him. And then there's the flip side, which is if you're not a particularly good player, no offense to Dell Demps, and you end up playing on a bunch of teams multiple times, then it's a sign that you're like a great guy. And if you look at Dell Demps' playing career, he just was a borderline off the edge of an NBA team. Kept getting shots, but he ended up actually going back to the Yakima Sun Kings for like six different years. They actually won a CBA championship in 95 there, and he was an integral part of that, but it was more that it's just kind of a sign of, you know, who he is as a person. He never stuck. He went to the University of Pacific and was undrafted in 92, and he got a little cup of coffee with the Warriors under Don Nelson, and then he got a little cup of coffee with the Spurs and Greg Popovich, and then he went to the Magic in the year in which they switched between Brian Hill and Richie Adubato. And, you know, but there it is, even then, in the 95-96 seasons, he's with the Spurs. In that limited time, he ends up making such an impression on Pop, and that's right when Pop takes over, by the way. That's the transition year from Bob Hill to Pop, that he ends up going back and working in the Spurs organization as the assistant or GM for their G League team, then works in their front office, and then eventually gets hired as the general manager of the New Orleans Pelicans, and a stint that got caught up inside of two things, I think. One, the Benson ownership group, when run by the late Tom Benson, was not always thought of as the best thing in the league. And then the other aspect was the whole Anthony Davis fiasco he got in the middle of. And so that didn't turn out well, and he's going to turn himself back to coaching at this point. He's got, you know, he's a unique perspective for the Jazz. One is that front office experience. Two, he played in France, Greece, Croatia, Turkey, Philippines, as well as a bunch of, short NBA stints. So I think he brings a world of experience. He's talking to people who know him. He's kind of perfect for a Quinn Snyder staff. They all reference super bright, intellectual, interesting on so many levels there. So Dell Demps added to the Jazz coaching staff. And then a really interesting hire, Keon Dooling, who whenever Quinn talks about Keon Dooling, which I've heard numerous times, it is in just such great admiration. This is one of those people that Quinn has interacted with back from the University of Missouri and then enjoyed immensely. He comes to the Jazz as a development coach. This is an interesting hire, right? So he played 13 years in the league as a point guard and a shooting guard. He has not coached. When DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love came public about mental illness issues, he was one of the leaders in that. He followed it up with a really an incredible horrific story about childhood sexual abuse that then he got almost basically diagnosed with post-traumatic syndrome when something happened to him again. When he had the second incident, that's made him quit the game. And Danny Ainge, to his credit, picked up the phone, called his two best friends on the Celtics at the time, Rajon Rondo and Avery Bradley. And Rajon took his child who was in his lap at the time while he was having an episode when he basically went to retire and in 2012. And Avery Bradley actually took him, if I have the story correctly, straight to the hospital to let him, and that's when he was diagnosed with post-traumatic syndrome. That was not something in 2012 that you were going to come public with, but he did when DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love came out with their mental issues. He wrote a really telling and moving Players Tribune piece. So here you've got a guy who Quinn says is just a huge personality, owns the room, incredible charisma, with a 13-year NBA career and real life struggles that he can probably sit down and listen at a pretty high level. He never averaged more than 10 points a game in the NBA, but he did play for 13 years, four with the Clippers, with Miami, Orlando, New Jersey, and then at the end just kind of tried to get it back going with Memphis and didn't. And he played at Missouri under Quinn. So those are, two additions to the staff. We're seeing Quinn kind of form it a little bit differently over the last few years. Great compliment to the Jazz that Igor Kokoschkov got a head coaching job. Antonio Lang got the number co-two job at Cleveland. And now his Bickerstaff's lead assistant, Johnny Bryant, got the job in New York. And so now you have two guys coming to Utah. Dell Demps probably had his choice of places he could go with his unique background. And you have him coming, and you have a 14-year veteran or 13-year NBA veteran coming to Utah to be an assistant coach. So interesting kind of forming of the staff there we're seeing from Quinn. The NBA finals are set. We'll do our Boston look here in a second. Ironically enough, it was not scheduled to be done at all when they to match them losing last night. So that when we do that in a second, that'll be coincidental. Here's my thought on the NBA finals. Like, there's going to be a lot of talk that Miami's stunning, and in some sense, maybe Miami is stunning. But I really think this is a different season. I'm not trying to put an asterisk next to it or anything else, but there was basically an off season, and what we saw was that Miami, who had made a significant trade at the trade deadline and acquiring Andre Iguodala and acquiring Jay Crowder. And if you recall, during the regular season was starting Myers Leonard and starting Kendrick Nunn. Kendrick Nunn was first team all rookie and Tyler Hero was second. Eric Spoelstra used the 4 months of non-basketball, 5 months to basically rebuild the roster and bring a different team to the bubble, a team that turns out to be the best team in the Eastern Conference. And I think, it does. It's unique to this season, but I don't think it's as stunning as some people are going to want to make it seem. I think it's really just a really good work by an organization that has a distinctive culture, a team that got along well, so they were perfectly set for the bubble. We've talked about that a lot. Like, the teams that had camaraderie, had culture, were better for the bubble than those that had some kind of outward personalities that didn't bring everyone together. And so you have this, Tyler Hero went through an offseason is better. Bam Adebayo went through an offseason is better. They're two of their key pieces are young. And then you actually have them evolving, right? So, and those moves, I know this sounds weird, but like, the Goran Dragic came off the bench and then started again. Kendrick Nunn suddenly doesn't play. Myers Leonard doesn't play. Those are actually moves that you can't really make during a season. When you're playing day in and day out, you might think to yourself, like, gosh, I wonder if we could do this. But the ramifications inside of a season and the emotions that are flowing, you actually need this bizarre type of stoppage to be able to get that to happen. And, they also came out and played a ton of zone and played the zone differently than they had before. So there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle with the way Miami played this that tells me you know, it's a different season. It's just as worthwhile. I'm not trying to discredit it all. But we're all, it's almost like this is what Miami would have been if their roster, if everyone's roster was frozen, we started a new season. This is who they were. And at this point, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. And by a large margin, I think they're, what, 12-3 in the playoffs. And that 26-6 run to close out Boston to show that they were on a different level in key moments and understanding of where they are. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Fun things going on at Murdoch Chevy with the Murdoch Sure program. That is still in place to keep you safe and keep you comfortable. That is, you can get them to bring the car to you, limit your contacts, do your test drive there. You can actually do all your paperwork online and have it taken care of for you. Plus, the Chevy lineup is just awesome. The trucks, the Colorado and Silverado, the SUVs, you know well. You know that Suburban and the Tahoe. And then there's the Blazer, which when I was driving it, got incredibly high amount of compliments. There's the Equinox, which is the mid-sized SUV, and it's coming in at a really fabulous price right now. Last I checked on it, starting at only $21,990, the 2020 Equinox LS, starting at $21,990. Pretty fabulous. Trax there for you as well. The Traverse is a little bit of the bigger car, and obviously the sedan lineup is Chevy. 90 years of the Murdochs and Chevy connected in Utah. Make sure you take advantage of that. If you're going to head over there, feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com, and I'll set you up with a VIP meeting and give you that interaction before it starts so you don't have that kind of awkward walking in the dealership. Who am I going to get? We'll make sure we get you set up right when you need to before you go in. So feel free to email me at dlock09@gmail.com. Today's show also brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar, the most delicious bar out there with incredible macros for you. I'm appreciative of Built Bar because of their conscious effort to have the nut-free bars. Since I have the nut allergy, I can't venture into the coconut almond or the peanut butter brownie, but I'll tell you, the Locked On hosts are all talking about the peanut butter brownie. That is unquestionably the favorite of everyone. I had the caramel brownie, which is one of their new ones recently, was super impressed. As I've told you before, the orange, surprisingly, on my list of top ones, the new limited release pumpkin chocolate chip and mint brownie is the old standby. The macros are incredible. Leading men's bar compared to Built Bar, 120 more calories, 3.5 more grams of fat. This is one of those cases where more is not better. 35 more carbs, 17 more grams of sugar, and 7 grams of protein less than Built Bar. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, get $10 off your next order. If you've already used that promo code, guess what? It still works. So feel free to do it again and get yourself another $10 off. Okay, time to look at our team breakdown. We'll do the Boston Celtics. We've done the Nets and the Hawks. If you're just catching this, we will look at every team's kind of cap situation, roster situation going into next season, and then see if there's pieces of that puzzle that maybe the Jazz would want to be interested in. As we've talked about with the Jazz, they really kind of have three things they can do in the offseason to acquire talent. They have the mid-level exception, full mid-level. They have the biannual exception, which is about let's call the first one a 4-year $40 million deal. Let's call the second one a 2-year $8 million deal. Then Jordan Clarkson could be a sign and trade possibility if you don't bring Jordan back, though every indication is the Jazz are interested in doing that. And then the other is to trade pieces. Now, again, one thing to remember is that we just have no idea how much money the NBA has lost with the pandemic, and the dollar figures come down. The China fiasco cost the NBA about $60 million, so that's $1 million on everyone's cap, and that has brought the luxury tax and salary cap down a little bit, and we'll see what that next number is. You know, is this luxury tax and salary cap dropping $5 million? And so then some of these teams that are on the cusp or over it, like Boston, the penalty's even bigger. So let's take a look at where Boston is. The biggest, they'll offer Jason Tatum the same max. He's in the same draft class as Donovan Mitchell, so they'll offer him the full max. His base salary is at 9.8 for next year, and they'll offer him the max extension, the same one Donovan gets. Gordon Hayward has a $34.2 million opt-in, which I think everyone can anticipate he will take. And I think you can anticipate Boston will look to move him. He's got 1 year left on his deal, and if they can find somebody who might want him and take in some depth or some other aspects with that $34 million. But with the way Jaylen Brown has developed and the way Jason Tatum has developed, you know, and Marcus Smart is certainly a piece of their puzzle at $13 million a year. You know, in many ways, Gordon is their fourth or fifth option right now, and at $34 million, that's just too much. So I wouldn't be surprised. And Danny is Ainge, who's had an incredible history of being willing to just make moves all the time. So I would suspect that that would be one where you will hear rumors of Boston floating that one around, an expiring $34 million contract, and is there a better way to distribute it? Is there a better piece? It would be interesting to see if anything happens with that. From Gordon's standpoint, the other choice would be to not take the contract, you know, to see if he can get more money. He's now 30, believe it or not. So is this, you know, does he opt out and sign a five-year, four-year, $100 million deal that he thinks he can, is more money than he would make over those 4 years if he goes to the market next year? That's the only calculus that he and Mark Bartelstein, his agent, have to make that would lead him to maybe, you know, come back at a smaller number. Maybe he truly loves being in Boston and loves being a part of that team and loves winning. You know, his hero in life was John Havlicek, so he's, you know, trying to replicate that. That would be the only other angle on that. So keep an eye on that. I think that will be interesting. The only other piece of their puzzle is that Enes Kanter has a $5 million opt-in, which he will take. And then, you know, they're really kind of tied up at that point. They've got three draft picks as chips they can move. They have Memphis's 14th pick. And, you know, their key pieces, other than Hayward, there's not a lot of movement there. They're still so young. Jaylen Brown signed to $22.9 million at 23 years old. Marcus Smart has signed his deal at 26 years old. Tatum, as we just mentioned, is just 22 years old. Sean Grande of the Celtics had an incredible note that Kevin McHale and Larry Bird hadn't even played an NBA game at the same age of Jason Tatum, you know, getting knocked out in this playoff series. He went through Bill Russell, had played like six games. It was amazing just what we're at, how much we're asking out of these players at an earlier stage in their career than we have traditionally. So, you know, there's Boston's, this is where I get to the Hayward point, where Boston's only move to really shake up their roster is, you know, they have $117 million on active contracts. Their total cap hit is about $119 million. So they're on the wrong side of both the cap and the luxury tax. And it's just unlikely that they don't have like a major piece to this puzzle that they're going to change up. They have, you know, Romeo Langford and Grant Williams and Daniel Tice and Semi Olaje are all signed for next year under the team control, the club option on Olaje. They'll have to decide what they want to do with their picks of last year. Langford and Williams are team control. And so the piece to this puzzle that can change is whether when Hayward opts in at $34 million, the only free agent that they have that they'll have to deal with is Brad Wanamaker. They'll have to find a way to get him re-signed, and I'm certain they like him. He kind of fits them. He's on a team that might lack a little toughness. They have that. He has that toughness at times. He kind of a beautiful compliment to Marcus Smart. So it's interesting to watch this because Boston has always been this kind of team with all the potential trades and all the moves and doing a lot of activity. And Danny Ainge is the wild trader. And the piece that he has is if Gordon Hayward opts in. And if Gordon Hayward signs an extension, then that limits in this collective bargaining agreement some of his trade possibilities. So Boston, who's super good and, you know, probably will be a favorite to be in the Eastern Conference Finals next year as they sit, as Tate, you know, they're in now the process of Tatum and Brown getting older, getting more mature, getting better. And they have the veteran in Kemba. They didn't close games great in the playoffs. And I think that's most easily attributable to just age and where they are. Boston, who has always been kind of the earth shaker and everywhere everybody's moving in the last 4 or 5 years, doesn't really have the capability of doing that in the offseason. And from a specific Jazz standpoint, probably not a lot of pieces that the Jazz can go get or could make a deal for on their roster or that would be of a great deal of availability or interest. They, you know, Kanter opts in, they might want to move Kanter. But frankly, at this point in Enes Kanter's career, $5 million, he is a great value. He changes the game when he comes in. He does, you know, if he's not being a problem in the locker room, which he didn't seem to be being for Boston, he is really a fabulous threat offensively and on the glass, where offensive rebounding I do think is becoming a bit more and more important. We'll look at Bogdan Bogdanovic, which if we signed him as a free agent would be my worst nightmare, in just a second. Monday's Locked On NBA is Josh Lloyd, local experts on the biggest stories. So make sure you grab Josh, breaking down with the local experts of the Locked On Podcast Network. We do the same thing on Locked On NFL. If you want a great recap of the week, Peter Bukowski hosts it. He'll be running around the league with local experts, plus giving his take on what took place. Same thing with Locked On College Football. So Monday's great day for you to run around the Locked On Podcast Network, get update on all the crazy things that took place over the weekend. Today's show is brought to you by Homey. You've seen those bright teal billboards around town. You've got to ask yourself, what's going on? Well, Homey is changing the way the real estate agent world works and the way house buying and selling works. You can text LOCK to 88588 to find out more. They'll get you connected to a Homey agent to find your dream house, tour homes, make offers, negotiate the best deal. But then this is where it gets different. If you're buying a house, they'll work to get you $5,000 back. If you're selling your home, it's a set fee. There's really no reason why you do all the landscaping work. You make your house look better. You bought the right house in the neighborhood and the agent gets more money for it. Nope, you should get that equity. And that's the way Homey works, with a set fee when you're selling your house and working to get you $5,000 back when you are buying a home. Remember, it's simple to get started with Homey. Just go to homey.com and click on a tour, or go to LOCK, text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. An experienced local Homey agent will help you every step of the way. Remember, you can buy with Homey and save thousands. You can sell with Homey and save thousands. Homey's got your back. Free agent look. This one is, again, more just to try to understand the market and where we are. And then as we continue to proceed every day with a different free agent, we will get to ones that maybe work inside the Jazz wheelhouse a little bit more. Later this week is, so today we're looking at the Sacramento Kings' Bogdan Bogdanovic, and he's not allowed to be signed by the Jazz because I cannot have passes from Boyan to Bogdan to Bogdanovic to Bogdanovic and back and forth. That's just not something that I can feasibly handle. So it's off. I've had to talk to Dennis and Justin and tell them, no, I'm just kidding. Later this week, we're going to look at Joe Harris, similar situation to Bogdanovic, Marcus Morris, Paul Millsap, who I actually, you'll probably hear me make a pretty good claim for, Jeremy Grant. We'll look at this week. Next week, we'll look at Bryn Forbes, Alex Len, Derek Favors, Malik Beasley, who did not have a good weekend getting arrested, and some others. So we'll keep an eye, you know, just this is the plan. This is how we're running through it. So let's look at, this is an interesting case because we're going to compare him to a guard, Bogdan Bogdanovic, 6'6", 220, 28 years old. According to B-Ball Index, they give him a gold star for contact finishing, silver for catch and shoot, and a bronze badge for pick and popper. His best talents are perimeter shooting, playmaking, off-ball movement, and defensive rebounding. Here's what's interesting about this. Sacramento signed Buddy Hield to a major deal, and they play the same position. And he's a restricted free agent. And I'm going to guess that somebody out in the marketplace of those six teams with cap room are going to decide to offer him a significant offer sheet beyond the mid-level exception and see whether Sacramento is going to match it. There's so few players that are 28 years old that are coming on the market this year. And it pushes Sacramento with where they are, having maxed out Buddy Hield, having De'Aaron Fox wanting a full extension, having Marvin Bagley coming up through the pipe. They've got to decide whether or not they really want to pay Bogdanovic. Bogdanovic is interesting. He's really a gunner. Like, when you go look at his usage rate when he's on the floor, it's pretty high. He's in the 63rd percentile. So if you're going to buy into him, you've got to buy in that when he's on the floor, he's going to work, and he's that good. And I think that's why Sacramento thought Hield was a better choice, and then they ended up benching Hield for Bogdanovic during the season. And so just a typical Sacramento moment. They're now all over the place on this, and we'll be interesting to see. So quick little concept that's interesting when you think about signing him as a free agent. The contextual data, B-Ball Index looks at players and what the talent around them was on their roster. This is some of the more interesting data if you buy into their system when you try to figure out whether someone's a free agent. So Lineup talent is literally estimated overall talent of teammates the player played alongside within his lineups. They grade the lineup talent that Bogdanovich has played with as an F in the 2nd percentile. Now, why that's interesting is because what I just said about him is that he has always been one who just comes out as a little bit of a gunner. Well, is that because he's playing with just not very good players and he's the only one who can be the gunner? Is that because that's just who he is? And what happens if he becomes your sixth man on a good team, or if he's actually playing as your third or fourth option on a good team? And I think those are the really interesting questions about Bogdanovich that I don't think we know. And there are some other data points here that are interesting defensively that makes you kind of think he probably has to be a little bit of a bench player. But let's run it. His three-point shooting, he gets a C. Interesting, his pull-up three-point shooting, which is becoming more and more important with the way defenses are, he gets a D, and his catch and shoot is a C. So you think of him as like this bona fide shooter, probably with, you know, some European stereotype to it. He's really just a scorer. More than that, his percentage of open three-point shot attempts though was not good. Remember, he's not playing with very good players, and so he gets a D plus for that. That's not his fault, but it's 34 percentile overall. His three-point shot quality was a D plus. So again, if someone's looking at him, do they have enough talent around him to change what his kind of looks are, what he's getting as a player, and who he is? That would be a question. He's a B minus player in isolation. He's on drives. He actually is not that strong, just driving himself. And then getting to the rim rate is a D plus, and his pass out rate is a C plus. So as we talked about earlier, he's not one who's necessarily creating stuff for other people. His overall playmaking, his assist rate is a C minus, according to Basketball Indexed. His passing aggressiveness is a C. His passive efficiency is a B, and his passing versatility, they give him an F. That sometimes is just, you know, you move the ball without an intention to score. Not a post play guy. Offensive rebounding, non-existent. Defensive rebounding at average. His perimeter defense, they give him forcing turnovers as a C. Loose ball rate, he gets one of the lowest percentile ratings you can get. Pickpocketing rating, D. So this is an offensive scorer. Three-point contests, he was actually pretty good at. But his overall defensive matchups, when you start to kind of look at, well, this is how you kind of know. Did Sacramento hide him? Where'd they put him? They sure did. He spent 43% of his time guarding a tier six usage player. So tier one is the mega scorers. Tier six is like below average starter. He spent almost all of his time guarding 43% on tier six players. So when you look at the breakdown of Bogdanovich, what you have is Sacramento put him in the second unit. They had him guard, you know, he spent only 7% of his time on an all-star player, which is 26% below average. They had him guard below average offensive players. He's a good offensive scorer, but not a pure shooter. He played with not very good other players because he was on a bench unit. And so whoever evaluates and decides, hey, I'll take him at 27 as a bona fide scorer off the bench. Atlanta, to me, seems like a really good match for him, just to have that knockdown kind of player who can come on and get hot and start shooting and maybe play off Trae Young a little bit. Seems like that would be a good match for Detroit, who just needs some skills. I think that could be a good match for him. And on the other level, though, you've got to put the number up high enough that Sacramento's not going to match it. Final thing on Bogdan Bogdanovich is what the player ratings gave him. And I was surprised here because I really think of him as a high-level offensive player. And some of the stuff we're seeing here is that what he did is he put up points, but it wasn't as high a level as it felt like. So player impact, which is Jacob Goldstein's system, he gets a C both offensively and defensively. Real plus minus, he got a B overall, C plus offensively, and a B plus defensively, which certainly surprised me. Raptor, he got a C plus overall and a C plus offensively and a C defensively. And then the final one we look at is the box plus minus. He gets a B minus with a B minus offensively and a C defensively. So I was surprised, frankly, he didn't come out a bit better on this, and I think it makes it really interesting to see what Sacramento does with him, and if somebody thinks they have the match with him that they can improve a bunch of these areas because of the fact that he'll get different time on the floor than he'd get otherwise. All right, that's Bogdan Bogdanovich. Again, hopefully we don't sign him because I don't have to deal with him. By the way, one other note for him, effective field goal percentage at B+. So let's leave on a positive note for him, and pretty darn good in transition to his credit. All right, that is the rundown of the Celtics and Bogdanovich plus the Jazz new coaches tomorrow. We'll continue our teams, and we will look at player Joe Harris and the Charlotte Hornets as well. Hornets have a few interesting players that might be interesting out there. And then really interesting one will be Chicago later this week, because with a new coaching staff, it'll be interesting to see if they're willing to move players and how much they're going to change things up with Billy Donovan as a head coach. All right, that is Locked On Jazz. Make sure you go make your Monday run around the Locked On Podcast Network and go grab all of the recap shows that we have at Locked On NFL, as well as Locked On NBA and Locked On College Football. Have a great one.